Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Tet, Chapter 9. In yesterday's perek, Yirmiyahu continued giving reasons for the impending Churban, including the role of the false prophets in convincing the people they had nothing to worry about. He concluded the perek with a moving elegy describing his own heartbreak over the fate of Yerushalayim and its inhabitants. And today's perek continues in this vein, and as we mentioned, it serves as the continuation of the Haftarah, which is read on Tisha B'Av, in keeping with the theme of mourning on that day. Pasuk Aleph, Mi yitneni v'amidbar melon orachim, ve'ezva et ami ve'elchame itam. Oh, if only there were a guest house in the desert where I could escape my people, for they are all adulterers, a band of traitors. Yirmiyahu expresses his longing for the days of the Midbar, when the Jews wandered in the desert, still in the honeymoon phase with Hashem, as he described in Perek Bet, and thus he could escape the bitter reality in Yerushalayim, where the people today have betrayed Hashem's trust. Not only have the people turned against Hashem, they've turned on one another. No one is to be trusted. They speak slanderously about one another and try to entrap one another in their schemes. Deceit and falsehood have become so prevalent that truth is not to be heard. Lachein ko amar Hashem tzfakot hinanit sorfam uvechantim ki ech e'esem mipnei bat ami. Therefore, says Hashem, I shall smelt them like metal and test them. For what else can I do on behalf of my precious people? Their deceitfulness is so profound that the only option is to put them through a furnace, as one does with base metal, to purify and strengthen it. Their tongues are like sharpened arrows. One speaks peaceably to another, but in his heart is planning an ambush. Ha'al eile lo efkod bam ne'um Hashem? Im begoy asher kazeh lo titnakem nafshi? And this is a refrain we've heard before. Should I not hold them to account for these things? From a nation such as this, shall I not demand retribution? But lest we think Hashem takes any pleasure in meting out such punishment, the Navi continues, Pasuk tet al heharim esa v'chi v'nehi al ne'ot midbar kina ki nitztu mibli ish over v'lo sham'u kol mikne me'of ha'shamayim v'ad behema nadadu halachu. Over the mountains I will weep and wail, over the pastures in the wilderness I will lament, for they have been laid waste without even a passerby. Even the sound of cattle and birds is no longer to be heard. I will reduce Yerushalayim to rubble, a den of jackals. I will make the towns of Yehuda desolate, without inhabitants. Mi ha'ish hechacham v'yaven et zot, v'asher diber pi Hashem elav, v'yagida al ma avda ha'aretz, nitztach ha'midbar mibli over. Who is the wise man who will contemplate and understand this? To whom has Hashem told why the land has been destroyed, laid waste like a wilderness with no passerby? This is meant in the context as a rhetorical question, since Hashem has revealed the answer through numerous prophets he sent to warn the people who failed to take heed. But the Gemara relates in Nedarim 81a that this question was asked of the Chachamim and Nevi'im. Alma avda ha'aretz. Why was the land completely laid waste? And they couldn't answer until Hashem himself responded. In the next verse, Pasuk Yudbet, Vayomer Hashem, Al ozvam et torati asher natati lifnehem, velo sham'u vekoli, velo halchuva. For they abandoned my Torah, which I had placed before them. They did not listen to my voice and did not walk in its ways. And the Gemara continues, it seems at face value that lo sham'u bikoli, they didn't listen to my voice, and lo halchuba, they didn't walk in its ways, are redundant. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda taught in the name of Rav, lo halchuba means that they didn't recite Birchot HaTorah, the blessings before learning Torah over the Torah that they studied. And the Ran questions why the Gemara rejects the simple premise that the verse refers to the abandonment of both the written law and the oral law, and transgress the Torah. And he answers that if it were that simple, the Chachamim and Nevi'im would have been able to answer the question on their own, and Hashem would not have had to intervene with the answer. Rather, says the Ran, the people did learn Torah, and therefore the Chachamim and Nevi'im were puzzled, not by the punishment, because we do know that despite their study of Torah, they were sinful, and they failed to obey its laws, but by the extent of the destruction that the Navi has been describing. Was it really necessary for the land to be so thoroughly desolated? Alma avda ha'aretz. Why was the destruction so thorough? Hashem, who sees deeply into our hearts, responded, they didn't say Birchot HaTorah, meaning they didn't recognize the value of Torah study. They made light of it. It wasn't important to them. Like they went to school, they took their notes, took the tests, got their grade, and threw it out. But when we recite Birchot HaTorah, we're giving expression to the feeling that Torah is precious to us. Learning Torah is a privilege granted to us by Hashem, who chose us to receive and transmit his teachings to future generations. We ask that the Torah may taste sweet to us, that we enjoy its study. The people of Yirmiyahu's generation regarded Torah as a burden. Hence, they failed to recite the blessing. And for this reason, the destruction of Yerushalayim was absolute. Since they took no pleasure in Torah, they sought it elsewhere. Pasuk Yud Gimel Vayelchu Acharei Shrirut Libam Ve'achareha Be'alim Asher Limdum Avotam. They followed the willfulness of their hearts and followed the Baal as their fathers had taught them. And therefore, says Hashem, I shall feed this people wormwood and cause them to drink bitter waters. I will scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their ancestors knew and will pursue them with the sword until I destroy them completely. In the coming psukim, Hashem issues a call to the mekonenot, the dirge singers, the women who are skilled in composing and singing songs of mourning. Pasuk Tet Zayin, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakot, Titbonenu v'kir'u la'mekonenot, v'tvo'ena, v'el ha'chachamot shilchu, v'tavona. So says Hashem, contemplate and call to the dirge singers that they should come. Send to the wise women that they should come along. Utmaherna, let them come quickly. Vatisena aleinu nehi, vateradna inenu dim'a, ve'afapenu yizlu mayim. Let them raise their voices in wailing so that they bring tears to our eyes and our pupils drip with tears. Ki kol nehi nishma mitzion. Eich shudadnu, boshnu meod, ki azavnu aretz, ki hishlichu mishknotenu. For the sound of wailing is heard in Sion. How we have been despoiled and humiliated, for we have abandoned the land, thrown from our dwellings. Hashem calls to the women, who are more merciful and whose tears fall more readily, to contemplate the situation and recognize their dire straits, to raise the cry and bring the men to tears. The purpose of this mission, teaches Rav Moshe David Vali, is to sweeten the judgment through their tears. Yisrael, in their hardness of heart, did not feel any awakening to cry and pray in response to the words of the Navi. Therefore, Hashem, in his great mercy, calls upon the sensitivity of the women to recognize the need for tears and awaken those around them to cry and pray that they might be spared. Like Birchot HaTorah, their tears would demonstrate that they valued what they were now threatened would be lost to them, that the Beit HaMikdash and the land of Israel were precious gifts granted them by Hashem, and the threat of their loss was an overwhelming sorrow. Their failure to cry showed that this loss was unimportant to them. When we cry on Tisha B'Av, when we tear our clothing at the Kotel, break a glass under the chuppah, we too demonstrate our despair over the void created by the destruction of the Mikdash. We show that it's important to us that the Mikdash be rebuilt and that we return to Yerushalayim. Pasuk Chafbet, Ko Amar Hashem, Al Yitalel Chacham Bechochmato, Ve'al Yitalel Hagibor Begvurato, Al Yitalel Ashir Beoshro. So says Hashem, let the wise not glory in their wisdom. Let the strong not glory in their strength. Let the wealthy not glory in their wealth. Hashem warns, let man not think that he can save himself through his own resources, for these resources are not his own. They are gifts from Hashem, gifts that will be worthless if he doesn't recognize their source. The Midrash cites examples of those who possessed each of the qualities mentioned here and who couldn't save themselves in the end because they denied Hashem. Each example consists of one member of Am Yisrael and one representative from the nations of the world, demonstrating that this is a universal principle. Achitophel and Bilam were both wise. Korach and Haman were both wealthy. Shimshon and Goliath were strong. Nevertheless, all perished because they failed to recognize that their gifts were God-given and dependent upon faith and absolute loyalty to Hashem. Ki im bezot yitalel hamitalel, haskel v'yadoa oti, ki ani Hashem, oseh chesed, mishpat, utztaka ba'aretz, ki ve'elech hafatzti ne'um Hashem. One may glory only of his conscious, intimate knowledge of Hashem. For I, Hashem, act with loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the world, and it is these things I desire, says Hashem. Our only justifiable source of pride is our relationship with Hashem. Only when we invest in that relationship will we see great returns. Investing in that relationship means imitating the qualities of Hashem in our own lives. In contrast to the society Yirmiyahu was critiquing, he sets forth the primary values that Hashem wants to see in us: kindness, justice, and righteousness. And in the final two psukim of the perek, Yirmiyahu warns of the punishment of all those who seal themselves off against Hashem, who do not let Hashem into their hearts. Pasuk Chavdalid, Hine yamim ba'im li'um Hashem, ufakadati al kol mul be'orla. For days are coming, says Hashem, when I will call to account all those who are circumcised for yet being uncircumcised. They are physically circumcised, but their hearts are sealed. They will be called to account for their hypocrisy, punished among the surrounding nations, from whom they are no different. The nations are arelim, uncircumcised, and Yisrael are arlei lev, of uncircumcised heart. Throughout today's perek, Yirmiyahu dealt with the theme of the importance we attach to Torah and mitzvot, and the degree to which our actions and behaviors match our beliefs and values. May we be inspired by his words to act in consonance with our beliefs, so that our behavior reflects our love of Hashem and his Torah and our constant yearning for the rebuilding of the Mikdash. B'mheira b'yameinu. Amen. Thank you for learning together. L'refuah shleima Yonina Sima bat Dafna Hinda, Jennifer Hayikara Shelanu, v'lipsuei Tzahal, Achenu Hayikarim, b'toch sha'ar Chole Yisrael. Nina v'Chaim Schenker.